My wife knows if I can't speak, it has to be God. Or a stroke, one of the two, I don't know, one of the... I got up one morning. Is it all right to be real? You like family, I'll be real. Great man, we can be such great people of faith, proclaiming glory to God. Chrissy and I got new glasses, but we used to have glasses with the same frame. And her eyes are like really, really good, like it's the lightest of magnification. Yeah, yeah, really light. Where mine are like Coke bottles, but anyway. And in the middle of the night, I went up to get the loo and I picked up, I thought they were my glasses, and, you know, put them down beside my bed and got up the next morning and I put them on and everything was blurry. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what's happening to me? Oh my gosh. And Chris, like, you've got my glasses on, honey. So don't be concerned if even, you know, you can, we all have those times where we're strong and those times we don't feel as strong. We have some CDs up the back, praise the Lord. That we did quite a number of songs this morning off our new album called I Met Grace. The Lord really dealt with me about the importance of singing about the goodness of God. You know, we need to sometimes sing songs that remind us who we are in Jesus. And so these are just things that the Lord's been dealing with me about over the last number of years. Finally got to put some of the songs that I've been actually singing here for a number of years onto an album. They're up there. We've also got this one. You know, the Word of God is so powerful. We need to just sometimes, faith comes by hearing, not having heard. You know, most of us can remember what we ate yesterday, but the memory of that meal is giving us no nourishment whatsoever. So our scripture albums are probably the albums I listen to the most, because when you do an album, you live with it so much, by the time it's finished, you can't stand it. You've just heard it so many times. But the scripture never gets old. So that's there. And sometimes even the power of instrumental, we've got instrumentals up there that just to quieten ourselves in the presence of the Lord sometimes. Life is so busy and we have so many voices that it just can, you know, just to quieten yourself just for a few minutes and let the one who has all the answers speak to us. And this, and at that Rest CD, that was recommended by Joseph Prince, so it must be good. This is our new one. I don't know, you haven't got this, have you? I want to give this to my friend. Oh, well, just don't use it as a coffee coaster or I'll come after you, all right? Oh, yeah, it makes a great frisbee. I'd like to just share something. I've never ministered this. And so you guys are the first one to try out. Who's ever been to someone's place when they're trying out a brand new recipe? Sometimes it can be a little bit scary, but yeah, my wife's looking at me because when we first started dating, I cooked for her and I put like these lamb shanks in a slow cooker. And I thought, I'm really going to put a great image to my wife, well, not my wife at the time, what I was hoping for to be my wife. She's going to be so blown away. But I pressed the wrong button. So I thought I had it on high, which means it cooks it in 4 hours. And so I put it on low. And so after 4 hours, Chrissy's going, are the carrots still supposed to be crunchy? It's like, kids, don't eat the meat. It's not cooked. Anyway, praise the Lord. So you guys have got that situation. Hopefully this is cooked. But I've been thinking a lot about the kingdom of God. And this is before we just came back from Hillsong Conference where Pastor Bill Johnson preached. And, oh, it was just so miraculous to see in an auditorium of 20,000 people, deaf ears were opening. A lady had a metal rod in her back and she couldn't even hardly move. And it was like, so restored that she was like given complete movement. Athletes that had long-term injuries who couldn't like run all of a sudden were able to run for the first time in years. It was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And Pastor Bill's got such a wonderful revelation on the kingdom of God. And I've heard a lot of stuff preached about the kingdom and seeking the things of the kingdom. And to be honest, sometimes they get a little bit heavy. And I've heard people beat people up about, We need to seek more of the things of God. And we've got, you know, have we ever been in one of those sermons? You know, I got a couple of friends that are prophets, and I always say, you always look like you're angry or got a migraine. You know, they get that sort of look. You know? And so these people, they preach, and that's what I love about Pastor Bill. He's such a lovely, soft man. But some people, they preach about that. You know, we need to dig into the things of God, and it's so angry. And you know, I just know that's not God. And no, I'm not knocking their gift because it's wonderful anointings, but I've found that whenever I go to God, he's just so gentle with me and so loving. And so I just began to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11, verse 2 to 4. And I pray this comes. I've just got so many things. We've had such a feast of the word. We have Pastor Bill Johnson. We have Pastor Joseph Prince preaching these amazing words that I feel like I've got like 45 sermons running in my head. So I pray that it comes out eloquently. Father, I just thank you for the words that what you once said this morning. And this is, for most, I know there's many, many very mature people in the Word here in this church, and most people will have heard this scripture, or maybe even their grandma has this printed on their on a doily somewhere, but it's when Jesus, his disciples say, teach us to pray. And he says, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Let me just stop there. I think it's interesting. I've been so impressed by how important it is to personalize the promises of God. And I may have even mentioned this before. Like, it's wonderful to know that God can do something. It's another thing to know he will do it for you. I mean, one of Pastor Joseph Prince's great revelations is when he preaches about John as the disciple who Jesus loved, is that it was not a boast or a title. It was something that John had personalized. That God, Jesus personally loved him. He didn't love him any more than any others, but he just had a greater revelation that God loves me. And I think it's important to not just know that God heals, but God has healed you. And God just doesn't bless. God wants to bless you. And it's very important to understand these things. But in this situation, he talks about, he says, our Father. Because I believe with all of my heart there's some things that only come by community. Thank you for your deafening amen in that point. And I'll be even honest with you that it's sometimes, the, you know, community's not easy. It's not easy. Like, I love it. There's the old saying, they say, love is blind but marriage is an eye-opener. And sometimes, you know, it's like the person that God has called you to be with, who loves you and you love more than anything on the world and can make you happier than anyone, also knows those buttons which to press. I can send my wife into 100 in 1 second. I know the buttons to press. I shouldn't press those buttons. But we men are dumb sometimes and we press the buttons. My wife's going, yeah, you're dumb sometimes. So community is not always easy, but it's absolutely necessary because we don't all have it all. Thank you for your deafening amen on that point. And do you realize sometimes, Bill Johnson said this thing at the conference that absolutely messed with my head, and he said, God is messing with my head sometimes because he realizes that sometimes God even gives what I need to a person that annoys me. He said, I'm sitting there, and he says, like, this person comes up with the word of the Lord for him. Now, this is Bill Johnson. And he's like, and he was being so transparent. He said, Lord, please, anyone but that woman, please, anyone but that person. And she began to speak the word of the Lord. Obviously, he didn't give names. And then he said, he recognized this is the word of the Lord. He said, I needed it from this person, but this person annoys me. So, this community that you have here, this was not, we sometimes think that we like blessing God with our presence. And we do. But this was God's idea for us. And we need that sometimes. There's some things, like I've found that just one word, a person can say something and it might just be the most natural thing, but something in me recognizes this is the word of the Lord. This is God speaking to you. And it didn't come from the head preacher. It didn't come from the head deacon or the members of the board or the head worship leader. It came from just someone in the congregation. And I think sometimes our pride just doesn't want to receive from other people. But we call community something we all need. And then he says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Oh, that wonderful name, that name that is above every name. "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And something I noticed in this teaching is, you know, we live in a bit of a self-help society. You know, you go to a Christian bookshop, you can find a book on every subject, and that's wonderful. That's wonderful. I praise God for that. Most of us have in our Bibles, we have something that'll tell you what to do if you're feeling down, what to do if you're feeling unwell, what to do if you're discouraged, and that's fantastic. But Jesus didn't pray different prayers for different situations. Yes, he said, pray for, give us this day our daily bread. But basically, he was just saying, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I began to notice something, that the kingdom of God encases everything that we need. That sometimes we're seeking for like a part of God. Have you ever noticed that? I'm guilty of that. Now, I am not preaching. Like when I'm got symptoms on my body, I go to the Bible and I find the healing scripture. Christy knows, she sees me reading. There are healing scriptures I read every single day of my life. I feed myself the Word of God. But it's not that, I don't believe God just wants us just to seek these one little things. A kingdom is where the King is King. And I think sometimes we don't see as full a manifestation of the kingdom because we're too afraid to let him be king of all. Just let that settle in for a second. That it's not like that God gives us this, okay, just a little bit of healing. There's people that go, yes, Lord, I want healing, but I don't really want you to be the king over my finances. Don't panic. The offering's already been taken up, okay? It's all right. Everyone just went for their wallet like that. And don't panic here. Some people think this might get heavy. Trust me, it's going to be okay. Or we want God to come into our marriage, but we don't want him to be king where he says, I want you to love your neighbor. And I want you to sow kindness to other people. I want you to consider others ahead of yourself. But I need healing. Again, you're looking panicked. Oh my gosh, Pete's about to get heavy here. It's okay. But I believe that when we say, God, you be king over all, we get it all. We don't just get it. It's like I've always wondered why sometimes we just see little pockets of a manifestation of the kingdom. Let's just even look for a little bit what the kingdom of God looks like. You know, in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, it says the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I've never met anybody that couldn't do with a little more joy, who couldn't do with a little more peace. You know, the Bible talks about that the kingdom, peace means a wholeness. The actual connotation is lacking nothing. That's what the kingdom looks like. Turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 12 just for a moment. This is just something that's been stirring in my spirit just for a little while. In verse 22, And it says, then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute. And he, meaning Jesus, healed him so that the blind and the mute men both spoke and saw. And when all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? Now when the Pharisees heard this, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then can his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, who shall your sons cast them out? By whom shall do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. I believe that's God's dream for mankind. To be situations where we see the blind see, the mute talk, where the deaf can hear, where those that are demon possessed are delivered. You know, it's amazing. Holy Ghost is really stirring something. I just want to encourage you in the body of Christ. I know you're a church, even by your name, Pursuit of His Presence, that love the presence of God, love the things of the Spirit. But we all know that not everybody's like that. And we just went to a conference that had everything from Pentecostals to Anglicans to uniting. And one of the great themes of this conference came out is, we need the Holy Ghost. And it amazed me that one of the most, I have to repent before the Lord because I thought this guy was just too seeker sensitive. A guy called Carl Lentz, who's the head of Hillsong in New York. He's been on Oprah, he's friends with all the pop stars. And I thought, yeah, this guy, he's just a little bit compromised. I'm just being transparent. And he got up and preached that we need a church that's so full of the miraculous and the power of God, that the people just jumping out of wheelchairs. And he said, you know what? We have got it so wrong. He says, we try to be seeker sensitive. He said, I've never met a new person come to church and go, I hate it when that person got healed. When that guy jumped out of that wheelchair, that really annoyed me. He says, people want to have an encounter with God. They want to come into a situation. The world's so dead. I hear the psalmist when he said, Lord, you are my Lord. Earnestly I seek you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. That there's a thing in every heart that thirsts and hungers for God, and the world hasn't got it. It just doesn't have it. And when people come into the presence of God and into a place where the kingdom of God is manifest, something says inside of them, you're home. I believe every Christian, every unbeliever, when they walk into our presence, you realize we're wall-to-wall Holy Ghost. When something connects with an unbeliever of the kingdom of God, something in them should resonate and go, this is what I've been looking for. This is what I've searched my whole life to find. And thank Jesus, I've found it. That's what God's wanting to see, the kingdom of God manifest in our situation. We see Mark chapter 4, verse 30 and 32. Sorry, I get a little bit, I'm a bit excited at the moment. It's yeah. And this is a parable of the mustard seed. Many of us have read it, and it says, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we picture? It's like a mustard seed, which when it's sown on the ground is smaller than all the seeds in the earth. But when it has grown, it shoots up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shoots out large branches so the birds of the air may nest under it. The kingdom of God comes in and it cannot be denied. You can't see a fully blown mustard seed tree and miss it. You know, some people, it's a shame where some people feel they've got to exaggerate what God does in testimonies because it's like God needs our help. When there's a manifestation of the kingdom of God, there is absolutely no mistake that we have encountered the divine, that we have encountered something real. And all of my heart, I believe that God is wanting every single one of us to be a manifestation of His kingdom. He says, as in heaven as it is on earth. We have so many people that have got a vision that everything will be great when we get to heaven. But God is saying, I want that here. I want that now. There is no poverty in heaven. There is no sickness in heaven. There is no divorce in heaven. There is no depression in heaven. There is no lack in heaven. And God is saying, I want that manifested amongst my people. And so I've began to look and say, God, for so long I've been looking for pieces of you, but where I let all of you come, everything is sorted. Doesn't the Bible say, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all the rest shall be added to you. Now I'm not for 1 second saying we don't pray. Christy and I pray and agree for finances. We pray and agree for healing and things. We pray over our children. I'm not saying that. But the more that I'm realizing that the Lord wants me just to yield all of my life to Him so that He can be King of all. And when He is, the kingdom is fully manifest in my life. But some things tended to keep us away from that, because it's always been preached as a hard thing. I'll be honest, there are some things in my life, it's easy to submit it to God. Let's be real. We've all got different, and there are other areas, not so easy. Let's just be honest, let's be transparent. But I just thought of this. Lordship is simply surrendering to the authority of the Word of God. You know, the Word says very clearly that the Word became flesh. If you're ever wanting to know, Lord, what is your will? You're holding it in your hand, many of you now. God never contradicts His Word. Yeah, if you're wanting to know, well, what's the Father's will for my life? In John 14, verse 9, Jesus said to them, "Have I been with you so long and yet you don't know me? Philip, who has seen me has seen the Father." The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, it says, "There are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit." The Trinity are all in agreement. This Word is 100% the will of God. If there's ever been an attack to dilute the body of Christ over these last few years, it's to dilute the final authority of the Word of God. I believe that we need to come back to being people who, you know, this book will never be politically correct. And we should never change our culture, our belief to match the culture of society. We need to change our culture to match what this Word says. This Word is eternal. This Word will live forever. This is the final will and testament. This is the Lord showing this is how the kingdom looks like. And a lot of us are afraid because sometimes we see things in the Bible that maybe are difficult for us to submit to. Can I just be honest? Like I said, sometimes there are some people that make me mad. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I'm just like, oh, Lord. And then I'll feel the Lord say, pray for them. Now, I'm sure the first prayer that comes into my mind, I'm feeling like David, you know, smash their teeth in their mouth, Lord. That's not what he's saying. And he says, love those who persecute you. I'm going to be honest, I don't find that easy. And in the past, I've heard it preached, we want a manifestation of the kingdom. We want Him to be Lord of all. And if you don't do it, you know, like it's this, do this. And I've tried and I fall. If you think being a mature Christian means you're perfect, none of us are perfect. I could get Mrs. Robertson up here to testify. Peter Robertson is not perfect. He has days. We were delayed. We sat on the tarmac for about an hour and a half yesterday. Our flight was delayed. We had so many things happening. And Mr. Robertson, for a few minutes, sort of lost his peace and felt the Tabasco sauce start to rise. And my wife's next to me going, breathe, honey. Just breathe. So I'm growing. But I began to ask the Lord, say, Lord, how can I practically make you Lord of all? Kingdom, King over every area of my life, so that the fullness of the kingdom can be manifest in my life and in the people that I contact, that they won't just contact Peter Robertson and a bit of anointing with this and a little bit of this, but the fullness of the manifestation of the kingdom. What's that look like, God? And this might sound weird, but I just had this weird little picture. And it's like the Lord said to me, God speaks to me in a funny way sometimes. He said, well, Pete, if you're driving to Wellington from Auckland, don't point the car towards Whangarei. Like we all know, those of you, maybe you're not geographically very sharp, but Wellington's in the south, Whangarei is up in the north. And you know, we hear the scripture where, where's that scripture? Where Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 16. He says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on to that which I may hold, may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid of hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press towards the goal, the prize of the upward call in God in Christ Jesus. You know, to me, it's like sometimes, yes, we see things in the Word that are hard. There are areas of things that are developing and that we have to grow in. But I'm pointing in that direction. The Bible says a righteous man shall fall seven times, but he'll rise again. But at least I'm walking towards it. I'm walking towards it. Some people, there's sin won't and falling and weakness will not stop the grace of God. There's only one thing that will, that's pride. The Bible says God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. And there are some people that will just go, I will not love person, that person. I will not bless that person who's persecuted me. Or various different areas. And yes, it may be difficult, but I just think, you know what? We've got the Holy Ghost. And sometimes surrender is just trusting that He can make up those areas that we are weak. Like I said, the Bible says to come boldly to His presence. I might have to work with a person that is difficult and that I struggle in my natural self to love or to bless. But as long as I'm pointing in that direction and I just go, Father, You told me You want, You're Lord of my life. You said in Your word that I'm to bless that person even though they annoy me. And so I'm just making a decision to make You the Lord of my life. And Holy Ghost, I'm trusting You in that, that the grace of God will empower me to do that which I cannot do on my own. And so my strength is not based on myself. I'm focused on Him. I'm focused on His grace. And yes, I may fall, but I get up and I'm still walking in the same direction. I may stumble, but I get up and I'm walking in the same direction. You know, some of us, like I said, if I'm driving to Wellington, I don't get in the car in Auckland, turn the key and wonder why I'm not there yet. Some, we're on a journey. And lordship doesn't mean we're perfect, but it means that we're taking this as the final authority of our life, that we're pointing in that direction. And I believe we're going to see with this revelation of grace that's in the planet today and people understanding who they are, a greater surrender and lordship to the Lord because we trust how He's good. We trust it's not dependent on my strength and ability. That yes, yesterday might have been a bad day, but today His mercies are new and His grace is here and I can come boldly into His presence. And the word repent just simply means to change our mind. If Christy and I were driving, like I said, towards Wellington and realized we were heading towards Whangarei, just turn the car around. I really believe we'll see. Just some of us have been so scared to let the Lord be Lord of some things that we feel that we've struggled to let go of because we haven't known His heart. I've been thinking about, you know, there are some things in the New Testament that the Lord was... He was pretty hard on. One of them, like I said, was pride. Another one was hypocrisy. But some people get such a wrong picture of hypocrisy. And they shy away from God because they're worried about being a hypocrite. You know, Jesus said, woe to you Pharisees, you hypocrites. And they think, oh my gosh, I'm a hypocrite. Oh, God's so mad at me. But when I studied the word hypocrisy, if you go into the Strong's Concordance, and for the you scholars, it's the word number 5271. It said this, an actor under an assumed character. And the picture is, in the Greek, the Greeks loved their theatre. There you go, Paul. Loved their theatre. And so you'd have a play with many characters played by few actors. So each character played multiple parts. And the part they were playing was expressed by the masks that they wore. That's the picture of hypocrisy. Not that you're imperfect. Not that you have weakness or there's areas that you don't need to grow in, but you've got a mask on. We live in a society where so many of us are so worried about what the person next to us thinks. You know, people are living their Instagram lives that is, we've got teenage daughters and it's a real struggle of comparison that people don't feel good enough because they see these pictures of what they think a person's life like, which isn't real. Hello? Social media is not real. And so they feel they've got to be something they're not. That's hypocrisy. Not being, you know, when Jesus talked about when there was a tax collector and said, I thank God that I'm not like that guy. And, you know, I do this and I do that. And the other guy stood there and just beat his breast and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said, that's the guy that was justified. Because he took off his mask. And I think some of us sometimes, I've really been thinking and seeing in people's lives as we minister the danger and damage of self-righteousness. Self-righteousness just means where you try, your self-worth is based on your performance. And it's sad, some of us were raised in houses where you did good, you were loved. If you weren't, you didn't do well, love was withdrawn. Many people, I preached purely on that subject a few weeks ago, and we're talking people in the, like a lady in the 70s came to me, tears in her eyes, going, I never in my whole life have felt that I measured up. All that was ever spoken over my life by the people who were in my world was what I did wrong. My hair was never right. My clothes were never right. I never spoke right. I never did right. And so her self-worth had to be based, she had to change her who she was in front of other people because she could never believe that anyone could find value in who she was. Yet the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. Do you know what? There's times where I can be have messed up. There's time where my attitude can stink. There's times I might have fallen in an area and there might even be sin. But I can come boldly to the presence of God knowing my value is not in my performance. My value is not on how good I think I've been. My value is in who I am in Jesus. And we need to reevaluate and hear that over and over again. You are what you were paid for. You were paid for by the blood of Jesus. You have an innate value that cannot be equaled by anything else. As hard as you try and praise God, we want to be. The Bible says for us to go from strength to strength, from glory to glory. But no matter how much you achieve, your performance will never match your value because your value is set in Christ. And I believe in a church and in a community where we finally recognize that I don't need to put on a mask anymore. That I can even come to God sometimes and go, you know what, God? This attitude of mine, it sucks. But you still love me. You know, everything we're making excuses for, we're keeping. Everything we're, you know, some because self-righteousness has crept in and we feel that we've got to be something that we know. We can't actually be authentic before the Lord because it affects our self-value. And I see people, they make excuses for their behavior and it's because so much inside of them thinks that there's something in every one of us that needs to feel accepted. Do you realize that? We were designed to have absolutely no space between us and God. That to feel, like it says, we walked in the gut. It's like God and man were designed to be in complete harmony and unity. That's why the world's so messed up. And sadly, a lot of people have preached that you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And yes, they're wonderful principles of God, but condemning someone and pushing them away from God is actually pushing them away from the thing that's going to bring forth the fruit of the kingdom in their life. You know, the Bible talks about that, you know, we're looking into the 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18. It says, now that we're there, the Spirit of the Lord is, now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, take off your mask. You want to truly have an encounter with God? Be real and boldly come to Him. Do you realize that all the areas David talked about, you read the Psalms, and he talked about so many of his struggles and so many of his battles. There was one thing he never talked to the Lord about, and that was his trouble with lust, and that was the one thing that was his downfall. The one thing he felt he couldn't be authentic with God with was the one thing that brought him down. It says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just by the Spirit of the Lord. You know what? I see sometimes when I read the Word that my life might match up, but I still make a decision. God, you are the Lord of my life. I take this Word as your final authority. And you know, the Bible says, as He is, so am I in the Word. This is the real picture of who I am. Yeah, my flesh might need to catch up in a bit, but I thank God that by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Ghost, this is the real me. And you realize, even if you see something, some of us that got ready this morning and did our hair and did our makeup, that was Pastor Rake. Did his makeup, got his hair just right. If you see a blemish in the mirror, you don't get the mirror and rub your face with it to try and clean it up. Some of us beat ourselves up with the Word of God and say, I'm just not good enough because this is what the Word says and this is what I'm not living, instead of just going, Father, I just thank you. This is the real me. This is my final authority. I believe there's an authenticity coming to the body of Christ. And do you realize there's something so powerful when you're real? The world's so full of fake. They don't want to see it in the church. They don't want to see it in the church. They just want real people that love Jesus. And I really believe that we can have Jesus as the Lord of our whole life, that we will start to see a manifestation of His kingdom. When again, this has to be the final authority. But we don't condemn ourselves when we see something that doesn't match up. We just thank God that this is the direction we're headed in, Lord. You are the Lord of my life. And I trust you. That's what surrender is. Jesus said, if you don't, to see the kingdom, we have to come like a little child. Have you seen like a little kid and they're up there and the dad calls them and they'll just leap? They don't like, whoa, that looks a bit rough, a bit high. Saw you catch a ball yesterday, you dropped it. There's just, I want to encourage you to, when you see something in the Word, just jump, just lie. Hey, if you don't quite hit the mark, here's the first rule for hitting the, you know, in archery, first rule, aim for the target. This is our target. The kingdom of God. I pray for you. The Bible says that I should be laying hands on every sick person and seeing them healed. Not quite there yet. That's what I'm aiming for. Doesn't happen today. I'm going to try again tomorrow. And try again the day after that. And try again the day after that. Because my focus on the kingdom is not on my own strength. It's not my own ability. It's who I am in Him. We'll close our eyes for a second. Every single one of us the Lord is wanting to manifest so much of the beauty of the kingdom of God in your life. And there's been areas that we've been afraid to give Him because we haven't realize how good He is and how much He loves us. Firstly, before I go any further, I'd just like, I don't know everybody here. The Bible says you can only, I'll read the scripture, just point blank. John chapter 3:3 says, Jesus answered to him, said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Our God blesses us completely unmerited, undeserved, and unearned. But it can only be received through accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. The world says there's many ways to God. There's not. There's one. It's through the Son. And if you've never accepted Jesus into your heart, many of us here could get up and testify how God has blessed us. And it's not because we are better than you. It's not because we have got more stuff sorted out than you. It's because we have Jesus. And if you've never asked Jesus, there is not a point in your life where you could point to and say, I accepted Jesus into my heart as my Savior, and I asked him to forgive me for my sins and be my Lord. If you can't point to that, if you've never asked him to do that, you need to. I want to see you blessed. You can search this whole world. You'll never find the happiness that only God can give. Is there anyone here? Just while everyone's eyes close in the privacy that's been given, just raise your hand and let me pray for you. I don't care how far away you feel from God or how far away you are because of even the things you've done. The Bible says, simply come. Is there anybody? Let's just say this prayer anyway, just in case there's someone here and you're just feeling a bit shy. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came to pay the price that I could never pay. I could never get to you on my own strength. But Jesus took the full penalty of my sin. When he died on the cross and he rose again. Thank you for saving me, God. Thank you that I am now born again. Amen. If you prayed that, please come up for the first time. Please come up to Christy and I at the CD. I'd like to give you something. How's that? You get something free. And if you did that, do you realize we could raise someone from the dead and it would not cause a party in heaven as much as what you just did? The Bible says all of heaven rejoices when someone comes back to him. I'd just like to just pray for some people just as we close. I believe the Lord wants to manifest the fullness of the kingdom of God in your life. Some of you might feel that you're not worthy of it, but Jesus paid the price for it. I just also want to pray for, there's some of us here that we've struggled to let the Lord into some areas of our life through fear. And I'm not saying the moment you make a decision to give something to God, it's instantly going to be fixed or you're instantly going to be perfect in that area. But you're making a decision, Lord, I don't just want a part of you, I want all of you. I want everything that is involved in the kingdom. I want the fullness of your manifested presence in my life. Could you be brave enough to just come out as just an act of surrender, not... No one's judging. Like I said, we're coming to a place where I believe we can be truly authentic before the Lord. Is there anyone who wants prayer? I believe the Lord is wanting to help some people. You've been hurt and you struggle to trust. Christy and I were called by God to be together, but our first year was really it was hard. Until one day we realized we actually weren't responding to each other, we were responding to the hurts of our past. flesh is a weird thing. Like, you can be, things can trigger us, and emotions and feelings can come that aren't actually connected to the situation that we're facing, but some hurt that has happened in the past. And some people have shied away from community and shied away from the family of God because they've been hurt. Some have even drawn away from their own partner, their husband or their wife, because they've been hurt. And the Lord is just, I believe there's an anointing to help you just to trust again. I know that this is bravery. This takes bravery. But I believe this is for at least one person here. Your hurts have made it difficult for you to trust. Even to trust that the Lord's good, Christy, and she felt. Don't let our past disappointments frame our future.